M25. The implications of the two translations. Number 1A.
Now, we consider that Christ's order as a Christ translation, you see. And really, here we feel what the Christ is in Mrs. Eddy's language, that she says it's the divine message from God to man speaking to the human consciousness. But that which is speaking to the human consciousness is the divine principle and not people. It's therefore the divine principle that brings to us those ideas which need to be brought to us and not people. And therefore we can see also something, if we understand this Christ translation properly, that that divine principle which is constantly expressing itself as life, truth, and love to every new age, therefore is expressing its identity in the symbolism of the age. Therefore, it can identify itself through any symbols and through many symbols, not just through one symbolization, not just through the symbolization of the Bible, or not just through the symbolization of the textbook. It can express itself through the symbolization of music, of words, of languages, of any symbol. See, because it identifies itself always somehow through a symbolization, or the human understanding couldn't grasp it. But as it comes in infinite symbolization, in soul, we really begin to feel what is the language of spirit. That language which is so infinitely diversified and individualized that it will come not always in the same, or it wouldn't be new. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy had the courage to present her message not in the biblical language, but in a completely different language, so that even the religionists were horrified about the way she was speaking about the one being. But we can also see that because that revelation is going on, we should be open to speak the language of today and not the language of yesterday, and to adopt those symbolizations which are adapted to our age, so that at the point of mind, it really is manifested so that it is adapted to our age. And our age is a different age than 100 years ago, and is a different age than 2,000 years ago. It is only doctrinization and dogmatization that has told us that we have to rehash the same symbolization as yesterday, and therefore have barred our possibilities to reach the world. The world speaks today in another language than 100 years ago. It thinks in another way than 100 years ago. And as religionists bar their thought to an old type of translation, we can never reach anymore the world. And that's why today Christian Science can't reach the world anymore, because they don't speak anymore the language of the world. But if I think we are very consciously working to see that we free ourselves from all material conceptions, and don't try to bind us back to one symbolization, and see that soul has infinite capacities to illustrate itself, to identify itself, and that therefore the language of spirit is without limitation and is infinitely flexible and adaptable, that then we will speak the language of the divine principle adapted to the age in which we live. And I think this is something which we have to be aware of more and more today, or the whole idea of what Mrs. Eddy has discovered will just be narrowed down in the narrow limits of a language of yesterday. All right, this Christ's order, as we have seen, comes from those two translations. And so we want to go back quickly to those two translations, which you have on page 3, and consider just in big lines the main points of what this translation implies. And we'll be quite astonished that if one knows how to read a chart, and this is a chart because it does not contain sentences, just words, that we can gather from it a lot of information. What means translation? Here it doesn't mean to translate from one human language into another human language, like English to Russian or Chinese to Japanese, but it means translation per se. And translation means, according to the dictionary, to express in another language, systematically retaining the original sense. So whenever we retain the original sense of anything and translate it into another expression, into another symbolization, this can be called translation. Here she shows such a translation. She doesn't translate one human language into another human language. What she does, she translates God or the whole of being to the point of idea without systematically changing the original sense, or said positively, by retaining the original sense. Again, you can see that great point that God, as a religious expression of the divine being, when seen from the standpoint of idea, does not lose anything of its original sense, or it isn't a translation. So that every idea manifests really the whole of being. Idea is only being seen from a different aspect, but an aspect always sees the whole. Just as if we would look at the globe, we can look at the globe from various aspects, but we always see the whole globe, and not just a slice of it, just a little part of it, but always the whole globe, especially when the globe is transparent, as being is, then we always see every little part. So the purpose of that first translation is to show that God is not somewhere an enormous big mass of being, but that it is a spiritual concept, and that that spiritual concept at the point of idea is always seen as the immediate object of understanding. That being, therefore, does not exist anywhere else but in spiritual understanding. There it is where being is. Being is not somewhere up or down, outside or inside. These are all limitations. Being, which is timeless and spaceless, is a spiritual concept, and that concept we can fathom in understanding because Christ is Immanuel, God with us, God with our understanding. Now, Mrs. Eddy gives in miscellaneous writings two different senses or two different meanings of translation. She says, Christian Science translates mind, God to mortals, to the point of understanding. And then a page later, she says that Christian Science understood, translates matter, the physical, the first degree, back into mind, into the spiritual, there where she says in the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and God's and man as God's image appears, where the image of mind appears. where therefore the physical is translated back into its original sense of mind, again, without losing its original meaning. And what that implies, we will see in a few minutes. But you can see here she has, so to say, two translations. The one from God, if we want to point it out in space, from God up here down to man, you see. And then a second translation, which has a completely different direction, namely to translate anything which is opposite of God back into God, so that finally only the idea really is being manifested. So, in a way, you see, we can see that these two translations have common denominators. And this is what I wanted to show. I think it's on your page 4. Yes, the last picture. That last picture I tried to epitomize those two translations here on the left-hand side. I just epitomized the first translation of God to the point of man as idea, as the immediate object of understanding, as an image in mind. The second translation has the office of translating the first degree of depravity or of the physical or of unreality back into its original meaning, back into the third degree of understanding, which is spiritual, no more physical. You see, it's very opposite. Into the realm of reality, which is the very opposite of the unreal. So that the second translation, Christian Science Understood, translates matter back into mind. Well, we have then that in the third degree, mortal mind disappears and man in God's image appears. Now, if we look at these two translations, we must see that they are not two translations, that these translations really go on simultaneously, that they are, so to say, two sides of one coin, head and tail of a coin, but not two translations per se, but that the first translation is the one side of the coin and the second translation the other, and that the common denominator, the pivot around which the translation turns, is really here image, because the first translation ends with image, namely that idea is an image in mind. And the second translation ends also that way, namely that man is now seen as God's image. So you see, image is image. God's image is God's image. There are not two. Or you could see the first translation ends, that idea is the immediate object of understanding. And the third degree too is understanding. Again, you have a sense that understanding is understanding. There are not two sorts of understanding, so that the pivot around which everything turns is the Christ understanding. Meaning that in the moment we see idea, an image in mind. The moment our consciousness goes out from the divinely subjective and only sees idea, at that very moment, it cannot see mortal mind. Therefore, at that very moment, the whole second translation has already taken place and mortal mind has disappeared and God's image is established. Meaning that in understanding lies the key of the Christ translation. The more we understand mind and mind's idea, the less we we can entertain in consciousness the illusions of mortal mind. So mortal mind is retranslated back into its original meaning. And its place is divine mind. So that the first translation and the second translation go on simultaneously, not one after the other, as it is perhaps indicated but not meant so in the textbook where Mrs. Eddy had to put them one after the other because printing just wouldn't allow to put them one next to the other. And it shows that it is therefore only one translation. It's just translation. Therefore we can speak of the Christ translation, meaning that within that Christ translation two processes are going on. Within that Christ consciousness, two things are going on. Namely, we behold ideas, and in the measure as we behold ideas, we can't behold illusions, and so illusions are exchanged for ideas. And this gives us quite a few indications about our practical application, if we want to say so, of these two translations. And so perhaps we just enumerate perhaps the most important point which we gain from this concept. The first point, therefore, would be, as I have said, the first and second translation gone simultaneously. Meaning, understanding is demonstration. There is no duality between understanding and then applying understanding to something as demonstration. There is no such a thing. If we understand something, it demonstrates itself. If we have understood something rightly, it has the Christ power, the Christ idea within itself, the Christ seed within itself, and it demonstrates itself. It may not demonstrate itself the way we like it. And there is where we usually stumble and therefore say, I didn't make my demonstration. It's therefore here where we have to see that it is not true what one hears so often, that one says of oneself or somebody else, I have already studied a lot and he has quite a good understanding, but he can't demonstrate it. Well, that doesn't exist. Either one understands, and if one understands, it demonstrates itself. But it demonstrates it the way the Christ wants to demonstrate it. And that is another way than what we would like to happen. And therefore, we have to have that bigness of the Christ humility to give up our sense of what a demonstration is, when, how, and through what a demonstration should happen. We do not know. The divine idea knows. The Christ knows what is best for us. And what we can do is to stay with that Christ, and with that Christ translation, then we know that the demonstration is right. A second point, therefore, is to see that we should actually not talk about the first translation and the second translation, but about the one translation. Just the translation as such, and see that this translation has a divinely subjective aspect and has a humanly objective aspect. But that's all. But it's the same idea. And so if we see that they are going on simultaneously, we begin to become much more an integrated man, an integrated consciousness, and not a split consciousness, where we are torn between understanding and demonstration. You know very well how many people just labor under that point, that they study till they are hot, and then try to take that understanding and demonstrate what they want to demonstrate. Don't do that. And as I said before, the Christ is the one truth. the one truth. And if you have that consciousness, then that one truth will take care of all the situations, of the latent errors and of concrete error, of subconscious error and conscious error. But be kind to you. Stop trying to be humanly the Christ and run God. Just as we run a business to try to run God. Let God operate in its own way. And if we let God operate in its own way as understanding and demonstration, you will find out two big things, two mighty big things. First of all, that suddenly you feel that you don't have to solve problems. That you don't have to solve a single problem. You are not even aware that you should solve this and that and the other problem. Because if you go out from the divinely subjective standpoint, you are with the synonymous terms and the synonymous symbols which cover the whole of being. They jolly well take in everything and take care of what is right at the very moment for each one of us. I don't know if I have said it yesterday or if I said it up in Boston in the class. I never know when I said what. But did I say that really since I began to see these laws, you see, that I never began anymore to feel that I had to work on single problems? It just went away without being conscious of it. I just feel it so much wonderful just to be with the idea, to go with the idea and let the idea be with me and the idea carry me. And it's such a wide field, it's such an adventurous field. It's really serendipity in its best sense, you know. You're just going on the spiritual adventure and finding the most wonderful things. And being on that serendipity trip, you know, you don't feel that you have to fight against this problem, fight against that problem, fight against that problem. It works for us. And the second point which one finds when one is seeing this simultaneousness of understanding and demonstration, because that understanding is all the understanding of the synonymous terms, not on specific idea, it's all going out from the synonymous terms. Therefore, one experiences the following thing, that those synonymous terms are working in a way quite unaware of humanly unaware, working in such a way that they bring out higher demonstrations than one would humanly be able to conceive. That then that Christ idea is going to demonstrate those problems which really matter. And those problems which really matter are those problems which humanly would never consider to be problems. And therefore, that Christ translation has within it that power and that urge really to bring us forward in the spiritual history of the idea. It's much bigger than we humanly would conceive when we always try to work out a problem. Every time, usually, you meet the Christian scientist, he says, oh, I'm just working out this and this problem. I'm just working on this and this problem. I work like hell on this and this problem. I work on this problem and doesn't want to yield. All right, that's their business. But science is much bigger than that. If we go with the big, the small is taken care of. The greater controls the lesser. Therefore, my sense is always, take the whole kingdom, and then the little asses are found. You don't have to run after the little... You say asses, yeah, I know it's an ambiguous term. But really, really, Saul saw it, you see. Samuel just saw that visionary. Samuel said to Saul, I make your kingdom, and then you have everything. You don't have to run after these little details. Do it. Do it. Take your synonymous term. Stay with the synonymous term. See that in the synonymous term is the understanding, and that they demonstrate for us what needs to be demonstrated. And that's much bigger than what we think we could demonstrate. So as a third point, we have to see that really the cause of this translation lies in the first translation, and the effect is in the second translation. I say this so easily as if it would be the most natural thing, but it is that point which is misunderstood by most students of Christian Science. Because most students of Christian Science do not reason from cause to effect. They like to reason from effect back to cause. And therefore, those two translations have for most students just one value, that if they get into trouble and are really in trouble and work very hard to get out of trouble, they say, how can I work out this problem? And they turn to the second translation, to the first degree of depravity, to the physical, to unreality, and say, yes, that's what it is. My problem is physical, it's a state of depravity, it's a state of unreality. How to get out of it? I want to get out of it. How to get out of it? And then they reason wrongly and say, Mrs. Eddy says, after the first degree comes the second degree. So they go erroneously to the second degree and say, there I must work out that evil beliefs are going to disappear, and they are going to disappear if I have a higher moral standpoint, if I behave ethically higher, and culture, all those transitional qualities which are there. And if I'm a good boy and a good girl, after a while I will be pushed into heaven, into the spiritual, and I will get my healing. And so I'm pushed into the third degree of reality. Nothing like that will happen. Because the premise is wrong. They go out from effect and reason from there on. No good. If one would see that the second translation is effect, one would start with cause. And cause is the first translation. Therefore, when one is in trouble and there's all that sense of depravity and unreality and so on, the only thing we can do is to put it right into the corner and no more look at it, and no more listen to it, and turn right away from it, and turn right away to the first translation, to the definition, to the synonymous term, to the Christ translation, divine principle, lifehood, truthhood, lovehood, just pouring forth itself in identical way as soul, then infinitely diversifying it so that it spread all over the place to every little detail and being manifest as the ideas of mind, and stay there and stay there. Don't move anymore. Stay there. That is our understanding, the immediate object of our understanding. That is Christ with us, God with us, Emmanuel, where God understands us. And we have that understanding which God has about his own nature. And that is jolly well having its impact on the first degree and shows where we have gone wrong and analyzes the whole situation as depravity, and therefore pushes us on through transitional qualities to the rarefication and purification process right up to the third degree, to the spiritual. But it's the first translation that does it.